Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. We appreciate y'all joining us. Thank you so much for the time. We're going to have some fun this morning in this hour, getting into a little bit of entertainment news. Got some other fun topics for you a little bit later. But it is a Thursday in the 10 o'clock hour. We all know what that means. It is time for our Pet of the Week with the Southland County Humane Society. We have Denise with us. We want to send a big shout out to Milltown Coffee sponsoring this segment. A big thank you to them. And actually, Denise, if you don't mind, I'd like to start there because you just came from there.
I did, yeah. I wanted everyone to understand how wonderful their coffee is, so I stopped by there on my way and brought it in for you all.
Very nice, thank you.
I really appreciate that, Denise. It's above and beyond. That's very sweet. Oh, and I've been dying to try it, so thank you for that.
It's good coffee. They do very good work over there. So enjoy.
Big shout out to them, everybody. Buy local, support local, support those that support our nonprofits and our community and our station here. And I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Denise, how are things going over at the shop?
Really, really good. It's crazy. Height of kitten season. We're taking in dogs and cats and we have puppies. We got two new puppies we have six pity puppies. Two were unspoken for. I was going to bring them today, but they are having their spay neuters this morning. So
That definitely comes first.
Yeah, right.
And Seth and I would have no idea how to handle that. No idea. It's much better. It was a very smart
no thanks.
Move by your
no
part.
Thanks. I'll avoid that.
No, I'd let them go. I'd be the worst. I'd be the worst at that. There's no way I could ever do that. When it comes to things over there, as far as things have settled down for the animals, the construction and the fourth is over,
sir.
And everything.
Yep, it's much better. Things are calming down. The animals are getting out. They're not afraid anymore. It's wonderful.
Nice.
You know, given where you guys are located, and for those who don't know, 3621 64th Street North, kind of on the outway of town, mm-hmm. A little bit and everything. I love the location, love the building and such. But given that location, do they have a lot of troubles with the fourth? Did they have a lot of fireworks sound or anything?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, the acoustics were such that the dogs weren't too bothered. Some of the ones that are a little more sensitive, they gave them, you know, calming things so they could, you know, sleep through the night. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it wasn't too terrible.
I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I used to worry about it a lot more with the old location.
I know.
I don't know that this was an intention of it, but I love when added positives happen with things. Right. And here's an added positive of having a building in that particular area.
Absolutely. Right across from the cemetery, you know, it's perfect.
Yeah,
nice and quiet.
Really, yeah, exactly. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's really interesting. Huh? Really good to hear that. And I always like to check in and see if there are things we can help with, things that you guys need a little bit more than others.
Yeah, we're still looking for cat litter. I'm running short on that. We just had a big load of pellets delivered, and that's what we used as litter for the kittens, but the other cats, we have a lot of adult cats. That's actually going to be my animal of the week too.
Ooh,
so
yeah, ooh, nice.
Litter, keep it coming.
Right on. Good to know. And certainly that's one of those things we'd like to always remind people of and that's a need. Anything involving cats or kittens, I would think that is a big one right there. Especially if you're just at the store and you're in the moment trying to grab something. Those are always good things to grab. And again, you can always reach out to the Humane Society and find out more about your in particular needs, of course, if you need to.
Correct.
And we'll tell you how you can do that in a minute. Today, we are getting into our National Day of Calendar and had a couple of things for that. Today is Pina Colada Day, so enjoy that. And it's also National Kitten Day.
Oh, excellent. I didn't know that.
So I did want to mention, and just talking about kittens and cats in general, because I don't know about anybody else, but especially here in Rapids, I have noticed a huge influx in rabbits. There's a lot of rabbits.
Mm-hmm. There are.
They had a busy winter. There's just more than I think I've ever seen before, and a lot of tinier ones. I saw something the other day where I saw a cat and rabbit, and I don't think they were playing, but I also don't think they were trying to hurt each other necessarily, because they both had opportunities and did not take them.
Really? Wow.
So I think they were trying to just figure each other out a little bit.
That could be. Like, what are you? You smell funny.
We've been working together a little while, Denise. Yeah. I don't know if you know this about me. I for years, my palate cleanser at the end of the day or whatever, I like watching different animal combinations, a bear and a lion that are friends or something. Yeah. It entertains me. Seeing this in real time, in real life and everything just blew me away. But it also reminded me, Denise is going to be in the other day. We should talk about cats in the summer. We talk a lot about the winter and how they can go into engines or hide under cars for warmth.
Yes.
In the summer, I don't think we think about it as much, but I know my parents' neighbors have a cat that does that almost every morning. I got to look under my Jeep and make sure.
Yes.
So in the summer, it can be a thing as well. Sometimes even just getting a shade from the heat.
Right. They go a lot of places because they don't sweat. They have to pant and they lose heat through their paws. And if you take them for walks on the hot pavement or the black pavement, it's like 100 onwards of 120 degrees, and it can burn there. So they do seek shade under your vehicle. So always check before you move your vehicle.
And when you are taking your furry friends out, especially when it comes to dogs, considering those things, I can only imagine how silly it might look to the neighbors or to people. But whether it's me or my dad, when it gets to a certain, like we usually in the high 70s or anything above 80, my parents' deck. They got a nice deck, but it gets hot.
Oh, yeah.
So I will pick Sam up and just carry him 5 feet and, drop him on the grass and stuff before, because those paws.
Right.
He's such a good dog, and he doesn't complain about anything, but you will see him sitting there just licking his paws for almost an hour because they hurt and they're sore.
Yeah.
Just doing those little things. It can go so much farther for
an
animal.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's so nice that you carry him to the grass.
I should mention as well, by the way, everybody, keep an eye out. If Disney or Pixar try to steal the whole cat and rabbit thing, that's mine.
That was yours.
That's mine. Mine, all right?
They're listening.
We heard it.
You know Disney is always listening to make sure to see if they can sue you, first of all. But then, that's a good idea.
Well, I want my cut. I want my cut, that's all I'm saying. We have made the audience wait long enough. Denise, who is our pet of the week?
We're going to go with a beautiful gray tabby called Post Meow Lone. He came in. We have a kooky office coordinator that comes up with these awesome names.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're
great. This cat loves, and like Becca puts it, tummy time. The minute you go to touch him, he goes on his back and he's like, rub my tummy, and he writhes around and he's the friendliest, most wonderfully calm cat. He's like medium size. They believe he's pretty young, like 2 years old. Gray tabby. He's already been neutered, had all his shots, he's ready to go, but so sweet. I was going to bring him with me today, but didn't work out.
Does look like a very sweet cat.
He is. Loves attention, loves affection, just great.
Beautiful brown eyes. Yeah. Unlike, was it Axel that you brought in the other day?
Yeah.
Axel was a little bigger.
Yeah, just a little.
This looks a little medium or more, but I don't want to say normal size, but kind of what you
medium,
typically
not
see.
Large, chunky, and not a little kitten. So, he's normal.
Looks very sweet, too.
He is just unbelievably sweet.
And now he's got all of his checks and balance and all that.
He
and
does.
Everything.
Yeah, he came to us neutered already as a stray. So he's
nice.
He had his vet appointment, and we gave him updated vaccines. He's ready to go.
With him being a stray, I don't know if know some of the details about him, but certainly there are plenty of I don't want to say the important stuff, but the major things we can definitely check off the box as far as his chip and being neutered and that.
Correct. Yep. He is updated on vaccines and microchipped, ready to go, healthy.
I kind of like him already more than Post Malone, to be honest. I kind of do. Post me alone. Be sure to check.
Hilarious if he's like really. That'd be funny.
Awesome. Awesome. No face tattoos. I noticed no face tattoos.
None that we can see, anyway.
I like that. We encourage you to find out also about Post and all these other great animals over at the South Oconee Humane Society. Your new best friend is waiting for you over there. We encourage you to reach out to them about the animals and find your perfect new best friend. Also, know that you can help out with their. Even if you're not able to donate an animal or adopt an animal. Mm-hmm. You can reach out to them anytime at office@swchs.com. That's where you can email them. Give them a call, 715-423-0505. You can find them on Facebook. Encourage you to do that. Subscribe to their page and share their posts on your page. You don't know who might see it otherwise.
Right.
And be sure to know that you can stop by. The building's up and running. Things are all, the construction's all done and all of that. 3621 64th Street North. North right here in Rapids. You can find all this information at their website, swchs.com. Be sure to bookmark that page and be listening next Thursday for another Pet of the Week with Denise and our friends at the Southland County Humane Society. Thanks a lot for hanging out, Denise.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Guys, and I haven't thanked you enough about the coffee. Like, this is a morning show.
It's my pleasure.
It's perfect.
I figured it's a little late, but still.
Good. Him and I got a couple more hours yet. It's going to come to Andy.
Good.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Anytime.
And a big thank you, of course, to Milltown Coffee. We appreciate them sponsoring this segment. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back with some entertainment news on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Gigantic shout out to our friend Denise from the South County Humane Society, talking with us, sharing with us Post Me Alone. Meow Alone.
What a name. Love it.
I kind of turned it into French.
Meow Alone.
Meow Alone. I didn't mean to do that. Find out about this great cat and more of these great animals over at the South County Humane Society. And just as importantly, find out ways that you can help out and be a part of things over there. They're doing some really vital work. We appreciate them. And we appreciate the coffee, Denise. So I have not, big thank you to Milltown Coffee, sponsors that segment. We greatly appreciate them. I have been dying to try their coffee. I'm going to try it for the first time on the air here. I'm going to try this.
Let's try it. I say it's good.
That's nice.
It's a really nice flavor to it. So I
was telling Denise, when I'm trying a coffee for the first time, I just want it black.
Right.
I don't need anything. I just want it to be able to actually taste the coffee.
Right.
I love the taste of coffee. That tastes good.
That is good.
That is a nice, an original taste, too.
Yes.
I was trying to
pin it to like one of the more, you know, big brands like Starbucks or Caribou, something like that. No. This is different. This has its own little thing to it. So, yeah.
100%. That's got to be tough to do, I would think.
Well, because they're all using like coffee beans, you know? Yeah. There's only so much you can do. But, yeah, it's great.
That's really good stuff. Be listening next Thursday for another opportunity to hear our Pet of the Week with the South County Humane Society. And again, thanks to Milltown Coffee.
Yep.
We dive into some entertainment news now. We got a double shot of Spielberg for you, everybody.
All right. double shot of Spielberg.
I honestly didn't mean to do this. I just happened to have two different stories and was putting these things together this morning. And it was like 10 minutes. Before Seth came in, and I'm like, oh, I guess I kind of put two Spielberg stories together.
Yeah, well, that's
how it goes. The problems on the set of Jaws are legendary.
Sure.
There has been almost as much talked about that as, especially at this point, I think the lore and the stories of the behind the scenes are bigger than the movie.
It's gotten to be that way. And because it was such a game changer, it literally shifted Hollywood to a whole new model of doing business. And because it was so important, people wanted to know, right? It's like, well, how did this get made? How did all this happen? And then they realized, wow, they had a lot of problems on the set. My goodness.
Next week, Seth and I are going to be diving into the summer blockbuster and going over from the early 70s to now. But this was really the biggest, to Seth's point, it's the biggest game changer in summer movies history.
Right.
So much so that I don't know that we've seen some lulls. Mm-hmm. But even with that, we're back to it now where what's happening this July.
Yep.
You've got the biggest movies of the year coming out this month. So even if it's not on technically 4th of July weekend, July is still the summer blockbuster
month
and everything.
You got it.
And Spielberg really got that started. And one of my favorite directors, one of the world's favorite and best directors. Mm-hmm. And also, like a lot of us, those of us of the Jewish faith, really close with our mothers. and very, very. So the problem. Problems on the set of Jaws were so bad that Steven was calling his mom constantly.
Oh, no.
There's a new documentary airing tonight on Nat Geo called Jaws at 50, The Definitive Inside Story.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to watch that one, man.
The look and the sound you just made was what I did this morning when I read that.
I don't know if I mentioned this before, but sometimes I'm more fascinated by the making of any movie than actually watching the movie.
100%.
And I've seen Jaws, of course, but I totally want to see this. It looks so interesting. Yeah.
Apocalypse Now is an incredible movie to watch.
It is.
Even to this day, 2025, that holds up. It's a very difficult movie to watch. It's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Sheen at his best.
Yes.
And all that. And even in a warped out Brando, it's still Brando.
It's still Brando.
It's still incredible work by him and everything. All that being said, Heart of Darkness is way better. Heart of Darkness is insane. The making of that movie.
Because it caught so much interesting stuff about what was going on,
and that's to me if I'm making almost any movie, I don't care what, indie movie, blockbuster, whatever, I've got somebody, I'm paying somebody on the side to be filming. Mm-hmm. To be filming the making
sure.
of this.
Yep.
Just, to, you know, you never know what might turn up. Hey, you get no good footage, nothing out of it. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Who, you know, pay the intern or whatever and move
right.
on.
Yeah.
If you get good material, mm-hmm. if you've got something there, oh, you got two movies.
Right.
You got two movies. I don't know.
Well, and that really started, if I remember correctly, the first time I really, you know, deliberately doing that, I mean, Lucas did some of that when he did the prequels, not the original films, but the prequels. But that was Peter Jackson with Lord of the Rings. He documented everything they did and turned it into some really fascinating material.
More on him in a moment, and Seth does not know. I try to give Seth and Melissa a heads up on a couple of stories that we're doing, and then the other stories I like to get their initial first reactions of.
Yep.
So Seth doesn't know what's coming up. We have a Peter Jackson story coming
up.
Oh,
my gosh.
That's funny. That's funny.
Even awesome.
That.
That's more awesome.
And Spielberg said, quote, during this documentary that is going to be airing tonight on Nat Geo, I talked to my mom a lot. I mean, I was talking to my mom kind of like, Mommy, this is really impossible. Possible help. Spielberg says he never wanted to quit, but he was constantly worried he was going to get fired.
Mm.
He really felt like this was not only going to be his last film, his name would not even be on the end credits.
To get an idea of how, I mean, he's a young director. He's only directed a few things. They have given him the mandate. Now, make this an amazing film. And then he's got all these problems. I can't imagine what he was feeling. I mean, the anxiety and the fear, and I'll constantly, oh my God.
As a part of Mr. Slaby's class, shout out to Lincoln High School's alums out there, one of the things that he got us gave us a chance to do was watch Spielberg's college submission, his thesis and everything.
Yep. His thesis film, right.
And it's about these people make like a road trip. It's nothing mm-hmm. too crazy. It's filmed out in California and everything. It's nothing too crazy. But you see little glimpses here and there of his angle or his editing choices and some of that.
Where he's going to go, right? Yeah.
And I'll never, ever forget being in that class and watching this film and being like, wow, he was this good at this age. And then there's a scene where he is filming with his camera on top of a mountain, the car go by. And as he's filming it, you can see his shadow clear as day in the shot. And just the car going and all that. And it's
love it.
It's directing 101.
Yeah, right. Mistake.
And this is his thesis. He's doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Martin Scorsese. I like a lot of directors, man. A lot of directors. I don't know I've ever seen a more complete, better director than Steven Spielberg. I don't know that I ever will. With the body of work he has, going from Jaws to The Color Purple to Schindler's List to just et cetera, et cetera. The body of work this man has and his connection to human beings is like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
As good as Scorsese is, Scorsese gets people, certain types of people. I think Spielberg gets everybody.
Yeah.
And his work is that kind of good to me. He's not my favorite director, but I think he's the most complete director I've ever seen.
Right.
And he was making mistakes, you know.
He's got to learn somewhere, right?
Yeah, such a good lesson for a young creative, have, and it's something that he really embodies. Like he works with a lot of young filmmakers. He's very into the growing the filmmaking industry into something that's not just a corporate, you know, safe thing,
right?
To use his word, safe thing, because that's not filmmaking. Filmmaking is not supposed to be safe. It's not supposed to be
risky.
You're supposed to be trying to do something different.
Yep,
you know. He is so supportive of that stuff and so self-deprecating that it makes some sense that he would be reaching out to his mom, Leah Adler, who was a wonderful woman, and she passed away back in 2017.
Mm.
And a lot of talk about Jaws, not only because of Shark Week coming up and everything, but the 50th anniversary of it and that. So
just remarkable, yeah.
Did have this other one that I thought was incredibly interesting, Seth.
Okay.
So when this movie came out, at the time, there were quite a few people that felt like this should be nominated for a Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Jaws had come out in 2025, it would be nominated for a Best Picture.
Even as a blockbuster, right? Yep.
Because that's what they're doing now. They got 10 nominees, and you always see a couple of them in there that you have has no chance of winning, but it's in there for eyeballs.
Acknowledgement, too. Yeah.
Acknowledgement.
Yeah, right. Yes. But, I mean, you're right. It's also to draw people there, but it's to say, you know, hey, this movie was important. We'll throw it up there, right?
It's okay for it to be a little column A, a little column B.
Sure.
I think in this situation, especially, where it does both things we just said there. Mm-hmm. And that's cool for all parties.
Yeah.
Well, Spielberg admits he was let down when he wasn't nominated for Best Director for Jaws, but only because everyone kept telling him it was going to happen.
Oh, really?
quote, I just understood. I guess I'm getting nominated. So when I was surprised and I was disappointed mm-hmm. because I was believing the noise. And you have to not believe that stuff.
Right. Another lesson learned, right?
Yeah. Jaws was nominated for Best Picture, but it lost to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Spielberg approves of that decision. In fact, quote, I don't think that Jaws should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Really?
I would have voted for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for over Jaws, he said.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, he's being honest. I appreciate that.
Jaws was a good movie. Mm-hmm. And again, everything Seth and I just said about it and everything. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to this day is one of the better movies classic. You'll ever see.
It's a classic. It's a legendary film. And it deserved to win.
Until it happens, or if it ever happens, one of my dream roles will be McMurphy. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be. As a kid seeing that movie on WGN, man, that movie changed a lot of things mm-hmm. for me. That ending is etched in my brain. It's such a good movie. I like what he said there. I don't think that it's anything surprising. I don't think anybody would disagree with him.
No.
But it's not always something that's we hear from directors.
Yeah.
There was one other thing, and there was Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson will always be associated with Lord of the Rings.
Of course.
But maybe we should start looking at him in the Jurassic Park world.
Huh?
His latest project involves reviving an extinct species. But it's not a dinosaur, not the T-Rex.
Oh, goodness.
Peter and his partner, Fran Walsh, have partnered with a company called Colossal Biosciences to genetically engineer birds that are similar to the South Island giant moa. The moa is the largest species of bird ever known to exist. It was flightless, of course. They say it was flightless, of course, because we all know about the moa. Everybody, it's common knowledge.
If it's a certain size, I guess sure. It's impossible for it to fly. But yeah,
and it went extinct around the year 1500. We all remember that in the news stories.
That was a long time ago. Wow.
Peter and Fran have donated $15 million to the effort. He says, quote, the movies are my day job and the moa are my fun thing I do. Every New Zealander school child has a fascination with the moa. I think while this is a funny American equivalent, because it's not an American animal, I think Americans or even Europeans, you look at the dodo. And how right. popular the dodo can be and stuff for it, as far as extinct birds go.
Right, yeah.
There's no bird more popular than the dodo.
Right.
But with this, for New Zealanders, I think even for Australians, I've heard something similar to this, although I apologize for merging those
don't
worlds.
Don't do that.
They don't like that.
They do not like that.
But the moa is a little bit that equivalent over sure. there. Just, give this a little bit of weight. But, I mean, that's...
Hey, Pete! What movies are you working on?
Yeah.
Anyone? You got anything going in the thing here anymore? I thought you were a filmmaker.
Yeah. well, and I mean, I feel like this would actually make a better film than real life. In fact, I have proof of it. We have 18 movies already of that. One of them just came out with Jurassic Park Rebirth.
Apparently, he does not learn anything from Nobs.
Right? Yes, yeah. You're
not supposed to do
what
that.
What are you talking about? I watched the first 10 minutes of Jurassic Park. I figured
it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Right? Everything. You're not supposed to do that.
I'm sure everything worked out. I don't need to finish it. What could go wrong? I think that obviously the heart of mine can't help but saying that $15 million could go to a lot of things to help out a lot of people, especially in areas like New Zealand where they've had some wildfires and different problems like that and everything. I also, for one of the most intelligent people I've ever seen in entertainment, I do think that of Peter Jackson.
I agree.
I can't think of a dumber thing to do. than trying to bring back an extinct animal. In a perfect world, sure, sounds cool, sounds great. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It also sounds like one of the most selfish things you're going to hear in your life, because it's not about the animal. Mm-mm. It's about this person, whether they realize it or not, wanting to bring back this animal and wanting to have the notoriety or something like that, mm-hmm. or just even getting it done through their own vision. Once that moa died off, that last moa died off, or that last dodo died off, the food chain it didn't just leave that link open.
No.
It connected.
Yeah.
It made it work over hundreds and hundreds of years sometimes to get that chain solid again.
Right.
So ecosystems could work with other ecosystems and all of these things. You throw that animal back into the food chain, it not only mucks up the whole thing, it would probably make another animal extinct.
Right.
And we're back where we started. Where now we got to bring back the you know, yellow-belly sapsucker or something.
Right.
I just wanted to say yellow-belly sapsucker.
Which is
a comedy gold.
I got to throw that one out there.
Thank you, honeymoon.
How about this, Peter Jackson? How about instead of bringing back, how about keeping species from becoming extinct in the first place? How about even better? Let's fix the planet. Let's work climate change stuff. How about that? Then we can save everything.
I bet you that $15 million, there's a lot of people that could do some good with that.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's all well and good. It makes a good story.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it, and I don't think anybody would be unempathetic of the idea if he was in an interview talking about wanting. Sure. I'd love if this animal was still around, you know?
Yep.
But I see a number like $15 million and the efforts being put into this, and it just seems like, I'm sorry, and I don't know if we're...
Seems like a waste to me.
It really is, yeah. And yeah. That's a really smart guy there doing it, yeah. too, which is just mind-boggling.
Then he made a lot of money, and then, I don't know. We know what that does to people.
Yeah, it's very true. So. Very true. Wanted to remind everybody that our great friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater have some great teen shows going on throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some really good ones. Dare to Dream was great. Heard mm-hmm. wonderful things about it. You got the Brothers Grimm, a speculathon coming up in... or that was good. That's coming up in August.
That's Hopo,
coming
yep.
up in August. But right around the corner... In fact, premiering tonight,
yes,
West Side Story.
Yes.
We had them in earlier. Susan mm-hmm. Becker was with us. We got to hang out with her and some of the kids. This is a classic, and Seth has been a part of this show. In
yep.
fact, you got a nice shirt on with it
right
now.
I did. I got a nice shirt out of it, yeah.
Seth, how is the cast? How is everybody feeling after last night and that final rehearsal?
It's great. I know that last night they did it as good as they have. For sure, they've really
so cool,
they're peaking right now at the exact time they need to peak, and I can guarantee the next several nights are going to have just fantastic shows. I do know that tonight and Sunday they don't have a lot of tickets left. Just to let you know about that, if you are planning on coming, everyone, that tonight and Sunday those are pretty full, but we still have plenty of tickets available for Friday and Saturday. So if you are planning on coming, look at that, because then you can go online wrctheater.org and you can pick your seats and you know wherever you want to sit. But I can guarantee one thing, it's the kids do a fantastic job, and you will enjoy yourselves with this classic musical. You know the songs, you know the songs, everyone. I mean, there are many of them, maybe not all of them, but some you've heard many times mm-hmm. before, and they do a great job. So we do invite you to come on down.
Every one of these kids is amazing. It's a flawless cast.
Yep.
And I cannot encourage you enough to not only hear these songs like you've never heard them before, because you mm-hmm. probably haven't heard teenagers actually singing.
That's
it.
Right.
It's such great. But it's, of course, buying local and supporting local, mm-hmm. and that includes the arts. I had a meeting, for those that don't know, I'm directing on Golden Pond this year, the opening stage of the main opening show of the main stage, and I met with Gretchen and Beth. Bethany earlier. I got to say Bethany because otherwise
they're going to confuse people. Yeah.
Right. We met with our stage designer and creator mm-hmm. and everything, and we were talking about that. And Gretchen at the end of it was like, "Oh, do you want to see the set for West Side?" I'm like, "Oh my God, yeah!" And go over there, and I thought I knew what to expect. I was so blown away.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cool set. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but the gating and we
actually have chain link fences.
Yeah,
on the stage,
really cool.
Which is really cool.
It's
yeah,
a nice layer. They did a great job with that set. That set is going to be another great piece to
right.
this. Everybody.
And I want to give a shout out to so many of the parents who helped put all this together. And without them doing this, painting and getting everything set, big shout out to the parents for this, too.
Check out West Side Story tonight. It premieres tonight, July 10th, going on tonight at 7. Mm-hmm. They'll have a show tomorrow at 7, and then on Saturday they'll have a show at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
And then on Sunday at 2 o'clock matinee.
To wrap it up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. Buy local, support the arts, everybody, and take in as many of these shows as you can.
Mm-hmm.
All shows taking place over at the Wisconsin Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. And we're just about an hour and a half away from a new edition of the WFHR newsletter showing up in your email
box. That's right. Yeah.
Get on over to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter, support local support, the great work that this team is doing around here. A shout out to everybody involved, of course, especially Melissa working so hard on
this.
Very
hard working on that.
We got so many great civic media writers, and Michael and Laura and so many other people, and Chuck putting in work into these articles. Really appreciate all the work by everybody.
Yep.
Get on over there to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter, your one-stop shop for all Central Wisconsin news.
All right.
We'll come back after our news break. We'll have some more fun. Got a good one coming up for you. The best classic arcade games.
Oh, can't wait. So exciting.
And we want your answers for these. We want your best arcade games, everybody. Coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you to Mr. Dan for playing us in. I like the idea of somebody thinking Steely Dan was like,
the name of a guy. What an odd name you have, Steely.
That's very odd. We appreciate you joining us, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out. We got a couple of more, about 20 more minutes to hang out with you. We'll get into our schedule and some good stories of the day in a little bit. Your everlasting summer, you can see it. The rest of my life, man. That little segue right there will
love
get
it.
Me. Love that part. And we're going a little nostalgic right now because we're talking arcade games.
All right.
Now, people our age range and younger, Seth might start thinking if we talk video games, home video games. Games, you know, from everything from Atari to Sega to Nintendo, PS5s, all that stuff.
Right. We were that generation. Okay. So we weren't the first wave of arcades. That was the late 70s and early 80s when they just exploded all over the United States. You couldn't, you know, turn a corner without running into an arcade. So much so that people were, of course, there was a panic about it. It's like, people are playing too many video games, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there was kind of a crash there in the early 80s. And by the time we're aware, you know, of what's going on, it was Nintendo.
Yeah.
They came along and that changed the game for everything, you know, about home consoles. You know, I had a computer, a PC, so I had a lot of games on that too. Yeah. So it was a little bit different, but still, it was all about home gaming. Now, arcades were still around, you know, and it was always fun to go to an arcade, but it wasn't, I don't think it was quite the same experience that that first generation had.
And I think the biggest difference in all the everything you said, just piggybacking on it, whether it was arcade games or PC games, the controller. The controller was specifically designed just to do this.
Right.
A PC was designed to do 100 other things
exactly.
along with games.
Right.
Arcades, it was pretty much button, smash, you know, it wasn't
a
whole
lot. Yeah, the stick and a couple buttons, right?
You know,
yeah,
it wasn't a whole lot of that. The controller, something designed specifically just to do this, to play video games, was such the big game changer for all of this. Having it at home was one thing, but whether it was the controller or like with Duck Hunt and you had an actual gun that you were shooting.
Yeah, the light zapper, yep.
But you were doing it in your basement. You were doing it in your living room.
Right.
Like, it was such a game changer. I don't know that if you compared TV, radio, video games, the home PC, I think video games ranks a lot higher. The video game system ranks a lot higher than we might realize.
I think
as far as impact on pop culture and all that.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing, real quick before we start this, the thing to remember, though, is that where did they get the games from? For the consoles? They got them from the arcade.
Yeah.
If it was a hit in the arcade, then they ported it to the home consoles, and that was still a big deal, even when, you know, the late 80s and the early 90s, that was still a thing.
I remember, I can't remember what, a pinball something it was called. There was a game for Nintendo, a pinball game.
Right.
And I remember my friends and I were rented it, we were playing it like crazy, and my dad coming in and like, you know, there's like real pinball machines. You guys could actually be playing a real pinball machine. And we laughed them off and all
and
everything. It wasn't a big deal. Now we have games like The Sims and things like
that. Exactly.
People just living day-to-day real life, but through a sim, but through a game.
Through a simulation, right?
And no judgment on that. It's just that I was doing the same thing as a kid with pinball.
Yeah,
it's just funny how that evolves.
It is.
So, so many of us have memories filled with the arcades and that. Even our generation, and even people here in town. Shout out to the Gold Mine, the last arcade that I was in, and I think a lot of Rapids residents were in. They had it in the old mall there. The arcades, you know, went away, but there are actually people bringing them back. There are actually a number of retro places that have video games things, and I think that's actually something that's going to get bigger and bigger.
There is at least two that I know of in Madison. I've been to one, and it was awesome. It was so much fun
being able to do that. haven't you?
Like a couple years ago,
okay.
Yeah. They have this great place in Madison even down to the feel. It feels like an old arcade. I was like, wow, this is amazing, yeah.
Ranker.com asked its readers to vote on the best old school arcade games of all time, and here are the top 20. And of course, we always encourage our audience participation. We want you guys to let us know what your favorite ones were, or what you think were the best one was. Mm-hmm. We'll go through, there's a lot of these. And I think that some of these, I don't remember them being arcade games.
Right.
At number 20, Golden Axe. I remember that one.
That one
a
was
bit.
Definitely an arcade game.
But then, like, the Simpsons arcade game at number 19, which I remember playing a little bit in the arcade, but also there was a home version.
There was, and they were different. But I liked the arcade version because it was very Simpsony, for lack of a better term, about the characters and stuff. I thought it was cool. It actually was pretty a fun game.
To the surprise of nobody, the number 19 on this list is probably my number one. I love that game. Rampage at number 18.
Oh, that game was fun.
I take it back. Rampage was more fun.
Was it? Oh,
Rampage was more fun.
Already he's backtracking. I love it.
It was such a cool game. Yeah. It was such a simple game. You just
smash buildings.
You want to be King Kong? No, I want to be King Kong.
Yeah, I want to be or the lizard. The big lizard, right?
And I don't think I gave its simplicity enough credit back in the day, because it's actually a really cool idea.
It is.
You just get to be a King Kong or Godzilla.
Yeah, knock buildings down,
like
right?
That. Yeah. At number 17, a sneaky good one, 1942. Plane game. You were an
early shooter. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gauntlet at number 16. Oh.
Okay. Interesting story about Gauntlet. I first played that in the arcade or at somewhere on the arcade, and I loved the game. And there was a version for the Commodore, which is the computer that I had. That was the game that my mom and I played together.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Like the one game. I mean, we would play a few games together, but that was the one was our game, right? And it was like an endless game. I mean, I think we got up to level like 106 at one point.
Yeah.
And this was before like pausing and saving.
Yeah.
You just had to keep going.
Wow. I didn't think about that. Wow. That is impressive. Shout out to mom.
I know. It was like, wow.
That was one of the first ones I remember where you almost had to have other friends to play with.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to die.
Yeah.
It was an unforgiving game, absolutely.
I don't know if it was the first one, but it was the first one of its kind that I remember of the scrolling kind of like, Lord of the Rings kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
It had a fantasy vibe to it, right? Yeah.
And now it's almost every one of these kind of games, but it was the really the blueprint of, okay, you need a mage, you need a warrior.
And the Lady Warrior, Valkyrie, or whatever they called it. Yeah.
Mario Brothers at number 15. I don't think of it as a arcade game. I think of it as such a home game.
And I think of they're talking about the original Mario Brothers, the single screen one.
Yeah.
Where they're together when you hit the turtles underneath and the crabs and stuff like that. Yeah.
I cannot imagine how many shoes Mario went through. I can't imagine. Defender at number 14. Forgot about that
Insanely hard game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was, if you were good at Defender, man, you were pretty good.
Centipede at number 13. Simple but fun game back in the
day. Here's a nice little tidbit about that one. The first hit video game designed by a woman.
Oh, yes.
Centipede.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great one.
Another, that could be a tough game, too.
Yeah. Double Dragon at number 12.
The first beat 'em up is what they're called. Yeah, basically, it's a side-scrolling game where you beat up a bunch of enemies as you go around with kicking and punching.
One of the few, that and Contra were some of the first games where I remember even as a kid playing these and being like, okay, they ran out of ideas. Like I think in Double Dragon, like you beat up a car for like an extra level or something. You just punched a car.
I think it was Double Dragon. Okay. They might have had it in Street Fighter 2, but I think it was originally Double Dragon.
Like I just remember beating up this car. Like okay,
what am I doing?
Out of ideas here. At number 11, one of our nostalgic favorites, Dig Dug.
Love that game.
It's a great
game. That game was fun.
I purposely am doing this with The Simpsons and Rampage, and I take back Rampage and The Simpsons. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. I think
another beat 'em up. Yeah,
that may have been one of my favorites, just because it always involved my friends.
Yes,
and the memories of that one aren't so much about the game, but me and like who's going to be Donatello and and fighting over that.
The idea of having like four different characters who could play at the same time, that was big.
huge.
There were several games that were like that, and I loved every one of them.
I remember playing that a lot here in Rapids, and then when we went on a field trip in sixth grade to the Dells, yep. and it rained, so we couldn't do half the stuff we wanted to. Me and like three guys went over to the arcade and played
TMNT.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. And you're so right about that. It was like a revolutionary game in that respect, mm-hmm. yep. that you could play with all of those yep. guys. At number nine, on a lot of these lists, the number one, Miss Pac-Man.
Yes, that was. I think the I still holds the record for the most like consoles sold.
Yes,
it was the highest selling game of all time.
Number eight, Asteroids, very similar to Centipede and some of those.
Another
games
hard there,
but
game,
but it was a lot tougher than it
wow,
looked.
Wow, yeah.
Mortal Kombat at number seven, a bit of a game changer there with the fighter.
That and Street Fighter came out around the same time, and they were both really they changed a lot of things. The fighting game, yeah.
There wasn't anything like it before.
No.
I think one of the biggest things about it was the graphics had evolved enough to where they could get
special moves. Remember, you could like do certain things to finish him, that kind of thing. That was, if you learn those tricks, you're like, whoa, that was cool.
Space Invaders at number six, similar to the other ones we've talked about. Frogger, very famous for just being a yep. simple but a difficult
challenging
game.
Challenging.
Number four, Donkey Kong. I love
still
Donkey
one
Kong.
Of the best games ever.
I still love that.
That's still a fantastic game,
and brought us not only Donkey Kong but of course Mario,
Jumpman at the time.
Yeah,
until he got his name Mario. Yep.
To your point about Mortal Kombat, Seth, at number three, not Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2
was technically the one that was exploded. Yes, that is correct.
And just as much fun as well. I could never choose between those.
They
games.
Were both really good.
I thought they were
very
both
different
fun.
In a lot of ways, but they were really good. Yeah.
Get over here, Hadouken. The Hadouken stays with me. I don't know why, but it stays with me. Hadouken. Galaga
is right. Galaga, yes.
Number two.
Yes. Again, that was the one where you have your ship captured, and then you could get it back, and you'd have two ships.
Yeah,
and shoot
awesome.
At the same time.
Awesome. I forgot about that.
That was
cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
And at number one, of course, it is Pac-Man.
Yes.
The first big game, everything we were saying about Jaws was summer blockbusters, you could say about Pac-Man in the video game world.
Fun little tidbit about Pac-Man. His original name was Puck-Man, and then they realized what kids do to consoles in arcades, and they're like, ooh, wait, we probably shouldn't do that.
Probably shouldn't do that. Not a good
idea. No Puck-Man. Pac-Man instead.
Plus, Miss Puck-Man would have sounded horrible. would have sounded
That's
horrible.
True.
It wouldn't have made no sense. It's funny to me how many people get into the argument of what's better, Miss Pac-Man or Pac-Man.
They're basically the same game.
I never understood that argument.
No,
I never
neither.
Got that.
No.
But what's your list? Let us know, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. Take a short break and come back and wrap up the show. Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you all had a good time. We sure did. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's been a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
Want to get into our schedule and some local events going on. We got a great Rapids report lined up for you today. Be sure to head on over to WFHR.com. I'd say anytime afternoon, maybe even before that, and we'll have that lined up for you. Be sure to be on the lookout, because in part one, or our first interview today, mm-hmm. we're going to be joined by UW Extension Wood County's own Ben Eberline.
Ben Eberline? Why, I know that name.
Eberline. Ben's going to be joining us. And yeah, Ben, of course, worked with the United Way for a long time mm-hmm. and joined us with them. And now he's going to be with us as their new human development and relationships educator.
Mm-hmm.
And could not have a better person take that job over.
To take Jackie's place. Yeah. That's really cool.
It's very fitting. And he's going to be incredibly
I'm sure he'll be doing a great job.
Looking forward to talking with Ben earlier, mm-hmm. although I don't know how our chemistry will be.
Oh,
it'll be fine. It'll be great.
How many times?
It's going to be great. Yep. It's going to be awesome. And in part two, we get to hang out with our good friend Aaron Hess from the Southfield County YMCA.
Oh, more fun. Oh, great stuff today.
That's going to be a blast.
Yep.
And I wanted to wait until we could actually confirm this. Seth and I have a director's playhouse we're going to be interviewing a little bit later afterwards.
Yes, today.
Got a lot to do
today. A lot
on
the plate today.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun. We got great Rafter baseball on the radio dial tonight. Hoping the boys this summer can get into that win column. 6:20 start time as the Rafters host Green Bay. Going to be a good one down
right.
at the ballpark tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Got some fun special things going on. Find out more at northwoodsleague.com. And, of course, if you can't make it to Winterfield, we've got you covered. We'll have the Rafters playing today on this station.
All right.
Be listening for that.
Mm-hmm.
We also, Seth, want to get into a couple of other things. Just a note to our audience out there. The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties have their Stuff the Bus event going on right now. Have a number of different supply donation locations where you can drop items mm-hmm. off at. One of them is here.
Right here.
come over by to the studios, stop by, maybe, you know, drop off some stuff for, you know, if you have ideas or requests or any of those things.
Yep.
And certainly drop off items for the Stuff the Bus. You got plenty of other great places in and almost anywhere where you're located, you'll find one.
Something nearby, yep.
Mm-hmm. Backpacks, notebooks, plain colors, folders, plain colors, markers, glue sticks, all of the above
we can use. All the stuff you know we need, yep.
Drop them on off, everybody. And today is a Thursday, so of course, lunch by the river, and our market is open, our farmer's market is
farmer's
open today.
Farmer's market is open today as well from 8 to 1. We've got lunch by the river from 11:30 to 1. So, I mean, you could do all kinds of stuff downtown today.
Yeah.
The weather is cooperating for now.
Head on over to the farmer's market, check that out, and then head right on over to lunch by the river going on 11:30 to 1 over at beautiful Veterans Memorial Park, and check out the Lincoln High School Mariachi Band.
Woo!
That's going to be a lot
awesome.
And our friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today. Those doors open at 4:15. The meals are served from 4:30 to 5:45 over at 2321 West Grand Avenue, right here in Rapids. That Sparhawk Trucking Building, we send a shout out to Sparhawk for that. We appreciate them being a part of the community and sponsoring things like that, Seth. Wanted to mention as well something coming up that is important to our community and to our listeners out there.
Especially our veterans. They're going to be having a Veterans Expo coming up July 23rd. That is right after Heroes Cafe, by the way, at the Crossview Church, 1000 East Riverview Expressway, number 120. Join the Toma VA Medical Center and the Wood County Veterans Service Office as they have a list of all kinds of resources for veterans and their families. That's something we did touch on this Monday when Tom was in to talk about that. There's going to be a huge number of people there, different organizations to talk about all kinds of benefits and any kind of programs for veterans and their families. This is something, like we also touched on, changes all the time, so it's good to keep up on where all these things are. So we cannot encourage you enough to attend that coming up July 23rd. And this is put on, of course, by the VFW and the VVA Chapter 101 in Wisconsin Rapids here. So
a big thank you to everybody involved in that.
Yes.
And we'll talk more about it as we're leading up to it. Just like we will be talking about the Touch a Truck event. It is coming up with our good friends over at the Southwick County at the Family Center.
Yeah.
They're going to be hosting their Touch a Truck event, the fifth annual, over the Grand Rapids Lions Club. That's coming up July 26th, 11 to 3. It's going to be a free event, going to be a lot of fun. They're going to have vehicles of all types, kids' games, food, raffles, all kinds of cool stuff. A shout out to the Grand Rapids Lions Club for hosting this like they do. And of course, our great friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center doing such amazing work.
Yes.
The Touch a Truck
important
event
work
coming up. July 26th, mark your calendar for that fifth annual. That's awesome.
I know they've been, I can't believe it. It's like five years they've been doing that now.
Didn't realize it's been
no.
Five. Michigan State Police shared footage of a helicopter crew finding an 83-year-old woman in a swamp on Tuesday.
Oh, no.
She has dementia and wandered off. They found her about a mile away from her home, and she is okay now. Part of the reason I'm telling this story is, of course, the good part of it.
Yep.
A shout-out to the Michigan State Police Department for that. Mm-hmm. And the drones, you know?
Again, a good story with drones. Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's amazing. Now, I actually don't think that the drone footage helped a little bit, but it was just, you know, like people finding her this time. And I think that's just as noteworthy as when a drone does it. And a 29-year-old woman in Miami was driving to Wendy's last month when she saw a 97-year-old lady walking down the street, picked her up, and bought her lunch. A video she posted blew up online and ended up changing the lady's life. She needed a new walker and help with her bills. People have now donated over $20,000 to her GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Amazing.
What a great story.
Great people out there.
Yeah.
Great show today. Be good to each other out there, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.